While the Chicago White Sox and Chicago White Sox fans are definitely going through some interesting emotional times, so are Chicago Cubs fans, but for different reasons. While they may be 7-8 as of this recording, currently playing a very wet game at Wrigley Field against the Pittsburgh Pirates, the 7-8 Cubs, a team that's just been hovering around 500 since the beginning of the season, they have been good. They've been bad. They've been mediocre. But they've been in a lot of different games. They've been interesting. And here on the Sports Cubicle, it's Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Paul Shibari, and myself, Mike Mercado. The Cubs are kind of what we thought they were going to be, but also, like, kind of pleasantly surprised. I think it's funny, right, Marvelous, when how the records just say different things for different teams when you put them into context. So what you're seeing in the north side of Chicago, a team that isn't going to win the World Series. Then again, that's what everybody was saying about Atlanta. This is a team that is just fun to kind of watch. You know, they're putting up 27 runs in one game with only hitting one home run. They have a player in Seiya Suzuki who's, like, really good. Wilson Contreras has kind of found his bounce back. This is a team that with Frank Schwindel and Patrick Wisdom has some fun stories. What are you thinking about this interesting team that's, like, not going to do anything but also can, like, make some noise, like, be a disruptor for some teams? The Cubbies, what's going on with the Northside team, the Northside 9?
I thought when I looked at the schedule, it'd be helpful if they're playing the Pirates 7 games out of the first 20 or whatever. They didn't do great. they may split this series. But, you know, I think that it was appropriate that Bears coach Matt Eberflus threw out the first pitch yesterday, because they were able to score 3 touchdowns for him and win 21-0. It was the biggest wipeout in Cubs history, so it's pretty amazing. And, of course, Kyle Hendricks went 7 innings of 2-hit ball, so that was nice for him to be able to comfortably sail through that game to get, you know, the longest start for any Cub this year. And because that'll be good for Kyle. They need him, obviously. But it's been pretty interesting. They actually made a move. They had to bring the first baseman Rivas back from the minors because they had to make some adjustments on the roster when Frazier went on the injury list. And what does he do? He's one of the offensive stars yesterday. So they actually have the pieces, and it's like the old Madden thing that Ross has adopted, where a guy plays multiple positions and they're still doing that. They give a guy in the infield off almost every day now. And they, you know, they have the pieces to do that. And with the DH, they can throw somebody in a DH. And I like the fact that now Contreras has an adequate backup. He really didn't with Gomes. They do. And they never really did before. So, and Villar, like I mentioned, he's the guy that can play multiple positions all over the infield. So, you know, he's at short one day, second, third, and he plays all those positions. And so they give their regulars a day off. But the Wisdom Schwindel story is amazing too. I was asking myself, when they have Contreras as a DH, who's the third catcher? It's Schwindel, by the way, in case anybody's wondering. Because when they go to those 15-inning games, and I forgot that I just saw the other day, it's still the second, that stupid run around second base thing in the 10th inning, but that's besides the point. The Cubs have been interesting. I mean, yesterday's game was pretty amazing. Perfect weather, beautiful day, and 3 touchdowns against the Pirates. It was a beautiful thing. You know, it could be said, save some of those runs for another day, but, you know, you can't do that, really. You can't bank them and put them in another game, but it was amazing, the offense, with, like you say, one home run, and that was it. And they were able to really pound the Pirates. So we'll see what happens, because they're playing the world champion Braves next on the road, and then the Brewers and this road trip. So it'll be a tough road trip. We'll really see how they're faring against that kind of competition on the road, because their only road so far was that, you know, that weird trip where they went out to Colorado, which makes no sense. If you look at the schedule, I mean, I've wondered about this for years. I don't think that the schedule makers know geography. Yeah, they go to Pittsburgh and then Colorado, and then they go to the West Coast, I think, 2 or 3 different times. You know,
the people who decide the start time for some of these games. We're going to bed at midnight after an NBA playoff game. So,
well, I'll tell you what. You know, with the new package that they're going to have on Sunday with, I guess it's the NBC group. Yeah, they're going to have games at 10:30 in the morning, I believe, as part of that package, so that they can have exclusivity in the morning. So that should be interesting. I guess it's at the Peacock, they call it, right?
Yeah, and it's Apple gonna TV is going to get its own game.
Friday night, Apple TV, they got that. And of course, now TBS has moved their Sunday game of the week to Tuesday, in case people haven't noticed. So there's a few changes along those lines, but the streaming was an interesting thing to me with the Apple TV and the Peacock on Fridays and Sundays. That's kind of the wave of the future, I guess.
I think there's going to be a lot of viewership for Cubs baseball specifically if this team stays in contention, and they now have some star power that we all knew they were going to get rid of last season and heading into this season. And we know next season they got a lot of interesting names in the minor league system. So that's what's going to be fun about watching the Cubs over the next few years, is that development of finally, how many years did we hear Theo talk about they want to make more contact? They want to be able to get runners on and runners in. And they just never did it because they were a three-outcome team. And you saw this season, and we've talked about it the entire offseason, even when we didn't know there was going to be baseball, that the roster that they were making was a professional team that was going to be with professional hitters and going to be in a lot of games, because they weren't going to be they weren't going to be the Cincinnati Reds. They weren't going to be a bottom dweller. They were going to be a team that was going to be right around the middle. Now, this team is struggling in the bullpen. It is struggling with a lot of its starting pitching. But that's also because that's stuff that comes around when you're going to win a championship. It's very rare for an average middling team to have a great starting five and a great bullpen. Those teams win World Series. Those teams win a division title. That's not what the Cubs are going to do. The Cubs need to be a 500 team. That's what they've been all in the beginning of the season. You stick around June and July. You try to make a little bit of noise in the second wild card, and it's a series. And anything happens in a series. But the Cubs are doing what they're supposed to be doing, which is just being in ball games. And as we're recording this right now, they gave up a lead. That's what they do. But they also are going to be entertaining. They're going to be in a lot of games because you have hitters like Nico Horner and a Nick Madrigal and an Ortega and Villar and a plethora of guys that you're now seeing David Ross take out Jason Hayward in the fourth inning, because there is just so much more talent on this team. And they know now that the Hayward superstardom level respect that he gets, now he gets respect because he's a veteran and a champion. But when it comes to actual playing time, he's been over. There's no longer we have to preserve the ego of a superstar. It's like, no, we got guys that need to play, and we need to win this game. That's where this team is at right now. And I think for Cub fans, all you got to enjoy is be competitive, be 500, and please just give us good consecutive weather for more than a day and a half at Wrigley Field. Marvelous one, as we kind of wrap up some of these thoughts of the Northside Nine, the Wrigley Field finest up in Wrigley Field of the Chicago Cubs. Yeah. How are you feeling heading to the end of springtime, getting ready? Right. The kids are going to be out of school. Sure. Everybody's going back to baseball. Your thoughts kind of heading into the end of spring into summertime?
Yeah, well, yesterday was a perfect example. It was finally a decent day. No rain, beautiful sunshine, 70s, almost 80. And in terms of the pitching, I've actually been impressed with Givens and Robertson out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. And Smiley was doing okay. And Steele, as starters, you know, on a given day. And eventually, they'll have some of their injured players back. But right now, I mean, it looked like they had a weakness in the bullpen, maybe left-hander. Well, they made the move. They sent Chavez back to Atlanta and got Sean Newcomb. So, you know, they're trying to fill in some of these gaps that they have in the bullpen. And with the rosters right now, they're still expanded. And so they have more players than they may have later in the year. I don't know what the timing is, but I think they're going to have to limit it to fewer players eventually, because they started out with, what, 28, was it, or something like that? Mm. Yeah. And they're usually, traditionally, it's 25. So, you know, and most of that's in pitching. They had a bunch of pitchers. So, but the DH, that's another thing. I mean, the pitchers don't have to bat, so you don't have to waste pinch hitters and all kinds of maneuvering. For me, it's like the National League managers can now take a nap almost. You know, there's not too much strategy. You see the strategy once in a while. Like, there was a game yesterday. I was watching the Padres and the Dodgers. Went to the 10th inning, and I unfortunately remembered that it's the runner on second base, and the Padres win the game. Runner in second, bunt to third, sacrifice fly. The guy, it's an unearned run. The guy's the loser, the pitcher, the poor pitcher. You know, I think, how would you like to be a pitcher when you got two outs? You guy hit a bunt and a short sacrifice fly, and the game's over. So I hate that rule, but be that as it may, the Cubs have been interesting. And, I mean, you can't deny the fact that 21-0 is pretty impressive. And like I say, if they can get some good quality out of the starting pitchers, could be argued with the short spring training that was a factor in, you know, in the starting pitchers can't really go much more than five innings. So perhaps that will come on down the road. And they, of course, they still have the injury to the other guy that rhymes with Smiley Miley. So they'll be Smiley and Miley eventually. Well, they'll have in the starting rotation. So we'll see what happens. And, you know, they've had some good performances, even a middle relief from a guy, a middle relief like a guy Keegan Thompson. So I think the needle's pointing a little bit more up than I anticipated.
Well, at least we figured out how to say Matt Eberflus pretty fast, and that was going to be a challenge for Chicago. I'll leave you with this question, Marvelous One, and we'll set it up for all our amazing listeners over on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV, here on the Sports Cubicle with Dan Marver, Devin Tingle, Paul Shavari, and myself, Mike Mercado, Seiya Suzuki. I believe in Major League Baseball, it's about 6 to 8 weeks that we can officially start making declarations and really start knowing what we're talking about. We're a few weeks in now, but Seiya Suzuki, you think this is, we've seen some guys already want more than once. The league has seen some film on him, still very early, but how are you feeling on the legitimacy of the 27-year-old phenom that seems to be just a awesome, all-around great baseball player?
I mean, obviously, his record in Japan speaks for itself, and now watching him, they thought that he might have to adjust to major league pitching. Well, a hitter's a hitter. He makes contact. He is good to the strike zone vision, and he's a pretty good outfielder. So all the way around, I don't see too many flaws in the guy. I mean, he doesn't, you know, swing at pitches in the dirt. He seems to be able to hit a curveball, you know, and some of the, maybe he didn't see a lot of the different kind of pitches in Japan, and he's able to adjust. I mean, there was one at bat where he, I think it was yesterday, where he had a little trouble, you know, adjusting to the high pitch, but that might be his one weakness, possibly, where he doesn't, you know, the highest pitch might be something that he has to work on to not go after that. But other than that, I see no flaws in the guy.
I think he's a lot of fun to watch. He's got a great eye. He's got great hand movement. He's always in a at bats. He's always got a chance to see a great pitch, and he does something that this team has always wanted to do, but it's doing great stuff right now. This Chicago Cubs team, if nothing else, does this wonderfully. They see a lot of pitches, and they make pitchers work. But that is going to be something fun to see over the next few months, especially heading into the middle of summer. We want to know your thoughts, though. How do you think things are going for the North side? It's so funny. The White Sox and the Cubs, just polar opposites, but all the emotions are all flying through both fandoms. We want to know your thoughts. We're on Twitter at Sports Cubicle TV about your favorite baseball teams, whether it's the Cubs or the White Sox, heading into summertime. It's the Marvelous One, Dan Marver. It's Devin Tingle. It's Paul Shavari. I'm Mike Mercado.